Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the way that you have taken care of us and brought us this far at this point. It's been a difficult road, but you haven't brought us this far. Lead us now. You, in fact, are our good shepherd. And we look forward to seeing what you're going to do in our midst. So as we open your word today, I pray that you open our hearts to hear what you have to say in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
When we think about sheep, I think most of us who have been raised primarily in urban environments maybe have never even seen a live sheep, except maybe on TV. I think I saw one time when it took us to a farm as kids. We had some friends that had goat farm, but I've only seen one live sheep that I can remember. But, you know, we see them in these idyllic pictures with, you know, peaceful scenes. But an actual sheep is not actually all that nice. They're dirty. They're not known for their intelligence. They tend to follow wherever the moment leads them and respond to whatever the current stimulus is. And they have become a symbol, in fact, even in our society at large, for those who are vulnerable or easily led. One of the talk show hosts, I can't remember which one, is fond of calling people sheeple because they just believe whatever they're told. Shepherds. Our vision of shepherds probably comes mostly from the nativity scenes. Or again, the peaceful pictures, like the picture I have on my wall of a Jesus-looking individual, you know, holding a lamb. I think my sister gave that to me. Actual shepherds, though, might present a rather different picture. I mean, these are folks who are accustomed to outdoor living. They probably don't smell too good most of the time. But they're also not this idyllic, peaceful type of person that you might be thinking of. Sometimes they had to defend the sheep. You think about David, for example. When King Saul challenges him, when he goes and he wants to fight Goliath, King Saul says, "You're just a kid. You can't fight Goliath. You don't know how to fight." He says, "Hey, when a lion or a bear came after the sheep, I went up and plucked it, took it right out of its mouth." So you see that the shepherd is not necessarily a person of peace. Sometimes they're a person of violence because they have to defend the sheep. The shepherds were often lightly esteemed. It was the job of the youngest. You remember also from the story of David, when the prophet Samuel was sent to choose a king from David's family. They brought all the children to him except David. He was left out taking care of the sheep. It was the job for the youngest person. And who knows, maybe, I haven't done any research on this, but I wonder if there wasn't a holdover there from the way that the Egyptians, whom they came out of slavery from, not a bit of a holdover there, because they looked down on shepherds. So when they got established and got a little bit better off themselves, they started looking down on shepherds. But the biblical metaphor of shepherd would have well been understood by the people, because it's part of this, it's part of Israel's history. It's part of their heritage. Of course, King David being the most well-known of the shepherd kings. But also the prophetic references that they would have been familiar with, such as the one in Isaiah 53:6, talking about the people as sheep. And they say, you probably know the scripture. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused him, the iniquity of us all, to fall on him." Talking about Jesus.
Right.
So today we're going to continue with the story that we actually started 2 weeks ago when Jesus healed the man who was born blind. And we won't go back through all of that material, but the reason why we're still on it is because it didn't stop there. In the scripture, a lot of times we've got these artificial chapter and verse breaks in it and makes it easy to have a place to remember things by. But when we have to read it, we have to remember that those weren't there in the original. And Jesus is still talking, starting from what he said back in chapter 9, verse 41. He's still talking through about half of chapter 10. Jesus has healed this man who was born blind. And the man has been grilled by the Pharisees and tossed out because he affirmed that Jesus had to be sent from God. So Jesus found him and revealed himself to him as who he really was, and the man worshipped him. And then he says this, I don't have any of this up on the screen, but he says this from last week. For judgment I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, but those who see may become blind.
Amen.
And the Pharisees, of course, challenged him immediately. Well, I guess you're saying we're blind too? And he said then, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But since you say we see, your sin remains. And so he continues, and we're not going to read all of this. We're going to skip a few verses, but I want to summarize them briefly. Because Jesus now continues speaking. And he begins to use this metaphor of the sheep and the shepherd. And in order to more fully understand this, you kind of need a little bit of background on the way that sheep were kept. I don't imagine it's a whole lot different today. You need something to bend in and a way to protect them. I don't imagine that's changed much over the years, but they would keep them in an enclosed area wherever possible. They would put walls around it, or they would build it between houses so that the houses would provide some protection. But they're trying to fix it so the sheep can't get out and the predators can't get in. And they might have more than one flock in the same pen together. But the sheep of the different flocks would have been trained to know the voice of their shepherd. Or sometimes they might use an instrument, a little flute, that the sheep would recognize the melody. But each flock of sheep would know the voice of their own shepherd. And so as he teaches here, he says, you Pharisees are, he didn't say it quite this way, but the gist is, you guys are pretenders. You guys are thieves and robbers. You're climbing up the wrong way. And he basically is saying that anybody that comes through another way, anybody that doesn't come through me, anybody that tries to take my place is a thief and a robber. Jesus is saying, I'm the way. I'm the only way.
Mm-hmm.
And I know my own, and they follow me. And they will not follow strangers. He's using a metaphor here, but it says they didn't get it. They didn't understand what he was saying. So he explains it again, and that's what we're going to pick up in chapter 10, verse 7. So Jesus said again, Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear it. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, and kill, and destroy. I come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired man and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Jesus says here, I'm the way in. I'm the door. In other words, I set the entry criteria. These Pharisees who have decided who gets in and gets out, he's saying, you don't get to decide. It's not for you. This man that you have thrown out, that you despise, he's accepted by me because he believed.
Amen.
He heard the voice of the shepherd and he followed. This is the way of salvation for everybody.
That's right.
He talks about three different people in this story. He talks about the shepherd, he talks about the thief, and he talks about the hired hand. The thief and the robber is somebody who is trying to take the place, and nobody else has the right to take his place. Not false messiahs, neither before nor since, can take his place.
Amen.
Religious leaders who modify his words to suit their own purposes cannot take his place. Cults that take away from the Godhood of Jesus and try to make him less than who he is cannot take his place. The thief comes, he says, to steal and to kill and destroy. Now, often when we hear that, we hear it used as a reference to Satan, and certainly it's true of Satan. But here, he's not talking about Satan. Certainly those who are doing these things are inspired by Satan. But this is one of those instances where we take a piece of scripture out of context because it looks good. And it does say something that we want to say, and it's certainly true of the devil. But that's not who Jesus is talking about here. Then he contrasts himself and says, I come, they might have life.
Amen.
Jesus is the giver of life. He says, I'm the good shepherd.
Amen.
And his hearers would have had the background to understand what he's saying when he says, I'm the good shepherd. Mm-hmm. We can all quote at least part of Psalm 23 from memory, probably. Mm-hmm. It talks about the Lord is my shepherd. Is Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet is extolling the greatness of God and how powerful he is and how great he is. He also says this, he says, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. So Jesus is making here another statement about who he is. And everybody that's hearing him understands what he's saying about who he is. And he says, I will lay down my life. He says, a good shepherd is someone who lays down his life for the sheep. This is the mark of a good shepherd.
Amen.
And of course, he's going to do exactly that. Then he speaks about the hired hand. Somebody who has been put in charge but doesn't really care because they're not invested in the flock. So when something bad happens, when danger comes, well, they run off. And they allow the flock to be scattered. They allow the wolf to come in and take because they don't care. It's they're more concerned about their own safety. And again, he's taking a swipe at these leaders who have set themselves up in God's place. But the Lord is our shepherd. He says that we will know Him and that we will be known by Him. And I don't even claim to understand the depth of what He's saying here, because He says, it's just as I know the Father and the Father knows me. That's quite a statement. For one thing, it's another statement about who He is. But He's also saying, this is the kind of relationship that I want to have with you. This is the kind of relationship I expect to have as your shepherd. He desires that closeness with you. And most people understand that statement about other sheep to mean the Gentile believers who are soon going to be brought in and be part of His flock. And that would be us. He is the Lord of life, He says. That He's able to lay down His life and He's able to take it up again. He's the only one that's able to do that. And of course, people hear that and the ones who don't believe say, well, there you go, he's crazy. The ones who think maybe there's something to what he's saying, after all, he has just restored the eyes of somebody who was blind. So they're looking at the miracle and they're thinking, well, hey, wait a minute. He can't be crazy, can he? He can do that. So as we read this, how does it apply to our own lives? You know, I hate to say it, but describing us as sheep really is probably not that far off. We have this tendency to easily wander off, go our own way, and do our own thing. Just like Isaiah said. We tend to go astray. We tend to follow our impulses. The grass looks greener on the other side, so we want to get over there. The thing is, you get on the other side, then you're not protected anymore. But without the protection that our Lord offers us, we're vulnerable. Therefore, we need to beware of the imposters. We need to learn to know our Father's voice. We need to learn to know our Shepherd's voice.
Amen.
He is calling to us. He is guiding us. He is directing us. Beware of those who claim to speak for Him, but who really are serving their own interests. How are you going to know who they are? Watch how they treat Jesus. If Jesus is ever depicted as less than who He is, you know you've got a problem. You don't need to be following that voice. If you know your shepherd's voice, you won't be deceived, and you won't be led astray. You won't be led astray by those who twist the truth and make it fit their own purposes to manipulate you into doing what they want to do, what they want you to do, or to take from you. Stay close to Him. Feed on His Word.
Amen.
He is the Good Shepherd. He has guarded you with His very life. And He is calling to you. And so my question today, are you listening? Are you hearing the call? Are you responding in obedience to the call? I want to leave you with one final thought as we wrap up today. He continues on the same subject matter. It's in a different setting. There's a break there in verse 18. But he says this in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. You are the good shepherd, and you have made the way and cared for us and loved us in a way that no one else can. I just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here that has not heeded your call, that this will be the day and they'll come to you and know you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.